trouble, see, I'm home.
So I was talking about how Sally Cato is a real piece of work. You know, I'm definitely thinking that Sally is who Bo was supposed to be buying that gift for.
The skates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, she made him promise to get her something. And I definitely think that it was more one-sided. But she thinks that she can run off Lucy. And so she suggests
or
a
Maine.
Hunt. Or Maine. Yeah. Sorry, guys. You know, it's vice versa. It's the same
right
person.
There. Right.
Sally suggests a hunt because she assumes correctly that Lucy has no idea what she's doing and that Bo will not, and she assumes incorrectly that Bo would probably not want her. You know, I don't think Bo would care either way. But she's definitely trying to make Lucy or Maine look bad.
Again, I have to tie this into an I Love Lucy episode because it's right there. But it's kind of like when they go over to London and the fox hunt and the girl that she becomes jealous of can do the fox hunting.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Maine. She can't. And that's funny. That's funny, too. That's such a great one. But I love, so Lightning Rod is the horse that she gets, which is like, apparently a horse that no one's able to ride, you know, so they give her the worst of the bunch, probably Sally's doing.
They're trying to sabotage this whole date.
Yeah. She gives Sally a little, or she gives Lightning Rod a little pep talk about how, you know, we gotta do this. And so she starts out just thankfully being able to stay on the horse.
Right.
But really she ends up passing everyone. She ends up passing the other riders, the dogs, and during this whole thing, you see Beauregard's mother and some other family members watching. Patrick's in the car too, and they're watching this whole thing. And at one point, the mother said, "She says, mother of Jefferson Davis, she's passing the fox." it's just so funny.
Yeah.
And then she does this whole thing where she turns around. It's an accident. She didn't mean to turn around, but she did turn around. And so then everyone else follows. You know, they're coming up behind and they follow suit. And by the time that they get back, she has sat herself on the ground because she fell off the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now sitting on the ground, like calling to the fox. And the fox just comes right up to her and she's petting it. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, my goodness. She would. But that wins the hearts of basically everyone else.
Oh, yes.
Not Sally, but everyone else. And you're right. They do this whole number.
The MAME number. This is the infamous MAME number. Yes. And again, it just, everyone's opinion of her turns. And, you know, I assume at this point they're either engaged or about to be engaged because they immediately get married.
Oh yeah. But so I love that this song. I was listening to some of the songs while I was outside today with Apollo and he was sitting right next to me and I wasn't even paying attention, but this song's a long song. It's very long. And it says MAME a lot. And all of a sudden Apollo goes, MAME. And I was like, Yep, MAME.
They've said it enough times.
But at the end of the song, you know, you see Patrick kind of looking out. And I think it's like a glimpse back to, it looks like he's kind of scared that, like, you know, she's got all this love and attention and that maybe he's going to get forgotten about. And of course he's not. And she opens her, you know, her arms and they have that like running scene.
Yeah.
But here's where we talk about a fast moving story.
Oh,
because
boy.
We get another montage.
And
of just now so that, much fun.
Now that they are married,
mm-hmm.
yes, we're not skipping over anything. They
no,
are
no.
now married.
They're now married.
And they go on a world honeymoon, which, again, I'm not sure how long the montage is supposed to tell you of time, because Patrick goes from being a child to now being a young man in high school. He's a high school senior.
I was going to say, this isn't a honeymoon. This is like their life.
Yes, they
their
now
life
travel.
Is them traveling.
Yeah.
And just doing wonderful things. And you get, that's the only reason you know how much time has passed is because of this song with Patrick, where he starts out at school.
The letter them, song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's real young. And then by the end of it, you know, he's, like you said, he's a senior.
Young man. Right.
Yeah. He's getting all the girls and flunking because he can't study.
And so I feel that, yeah, he used to be a B average student, and then all of a sudden he's just not. Now I feel like the Beauregard character, the Burnside character, is just there as a placement from getting her to, from riches to rags to riches again. Because he dies in an avalanche, by the way.
Yes.
They kill him off immediately.
They kill him off. And so it sounds like immediately, because it really is like 5 minutes in this movie.
In
but
movie
like,
time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In lifetime, they were together for many years, thankfully.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They got, you know, but you don't get to see any of that, except for this montage, the 5 minute montage. And then he's dead. And you're just like, oh, wait, what? Wait, what?
Where'd he go? Next scene, he's dead? Who killed him? An avalanche.
This avalanche, and then all of a sudden you see her just like looking at his picture in all black, and you're like, oh. Okay.
And now she's rich again.
Well, she was rich before, but yeah, yes. Now she's a sole inheritance.
Yes, now she's independently wealthy.
So she moves back to Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that if she ever left it, he probably just bought it, you know, like they just had it as a second house,
right? So
in
she
Manhattan,
yeah.
like another place to put down, but it's all decorated again, it's all back to normal. And this is when Patrick comes home, and he mm-hmm. says, look at yourself, you look like you just came from a funeral, which
it's a throwback to the
throwback
to the line of when he was a child.
You get to see just this heartfelt moment. You get to see that her assistant, her maid, and her butler,
mm-hmm. housekeeper,
and
all that,
and the Patrick's nanny, who's no longer his nanny, is still there, and we'll talk about that a little bit in just a little bit. But this is where we get the bosom buddies.
Oh, before that, they introduced that Patrick is now dating this conservative girl.
Oh yes, named
Gloria Upson, who is. Conservative is a conservative Ooh. Word to use.
Yeah, because, we'll talk about
that. Yeah, we'll talk about that family.
Yeah.
Today, a scene like we'll talk about later would cause such a stir.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
So, bosom buddies. Now, when Mame meets Vera for a drink, this is after the death of her husband. This is after all the time has passed. The two
someone
of them,
in Vera's life died as well.
What was that?
Someone in Vera's life has passed away as well. That's why she's in all black.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It didn't seem like it was as important as a husband, but.
And so the two of them, you know, go and meet for a drink, and they trade, you know, very sarcastic, snippy comments to one another, which they insist are not being made out of hatred. But
it's because they're such bosom buddies that they
simple
can make these.
Honesty and, you know, uh-huh. as bosom buddies do. Mm. And they reminisce, you know, after they've come home about the men that they've dated. That's, you know, what they start chatting about, and they start singing the song Bosom Buddies, which, I did watch a couple performances of this particular number of the Broadway version of it. And the B. Arthur, Angela Lansbury version of it. And what I notice is because of this lack of singing abilities on Lucille Ball's part, certain songs have been slowed down to a almost speaking song.
Mm-hmm.
Or then when you watch Angela Lansbury's version where she's just, you know, going all Sound of Music, you know, and with Lucille Ball, it's a little easier to tame because it's more of a speaking song, you know, sing-songing, talking. And so while they're speaking about the men that they've dated, you've got Agnes back there listening to this because she's never dated anybody. This is the poor nanny.
Before we get there, who said, I think it was Vera who said, I married him. I never dated him.
Yes. Yeah. It was
that line.
Yes.
But yeah, Agnes, let slip that she's never dated anyone.
No, she's very virginal. She's very innocent. She won't even say the words, you know, anything that has to do with anything like that. And so, you know, Dame says, "You're coming out." Now, you know, we can interpret it as something else, but she just meant like, you need to come out of your shell and
they help her, right? They get her a bath. I love how she says, "Take them all off. I don't have a very clear picture of what's going on under there." But she gets in a bath. First of all, I know this is random, but the bubble bath holder that she uses, it's beautiful.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I want to be that fancy. You need to like go just to that scene, or I'll take it because I own the movie, so I can go and the next time I see it. But it's one of those ones that I would be that.
You'd be that extra. Fancy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So we get this whole scene. It's still part of the Bosom Buddies song, where she gets all cleaned up. They give her, you know, probably one of Mame's dresses. They get her all set up. And then they send her on her way into the big wide world. And then guess what happened?
Do they ever?
She comes back and she's pregnant.
She made the most of her time out there. And she's very pregnant. Which again, she comes home with a big baby bump. So we are assuming months have gone by because.
Oh yeah. At least. Yeah. And at this time we also get to meet Gloria
Upson,
Upson, who this is even Patrick's the first girlfriend time. Yes. Even or the fiance. First time. We see. So Gloria comes home, but they don't know. Or Agnes comes home pregnant, but they don't know yet because they're in a meeting, a get together. They're having tea or something. Gloria's way of talking. Did you notice this? Yes. I wrote it down because she said every day is an exciting adventure. It's just so exciting. And then I've learned that I can learn so much from people. Like she repeats her words. It's exciting, you know.
It's very.
And there's a lot of things that put me off about her, but that
very nails on a chalkboard.
Oh yeah. But you can see at this point that he's pretty much head over heels for this girl. Like he's in love with her,
and
he's not really looking at
her. Family is very. What's the word?
Conservative
to an extent.
Judgmental,
conservative, just very uppity with themselves.
Yeah. Go on. Well, so much to the point that when Patrick finds out that Agnes is pregnant, he says, "Okay, we won't have the dinner at our house. How about you?" Because they were going to have dinner and meet Mame at her house. And he was like, no, you know, we can't have this woman who's pregnant.
Unmarried
house,
yeah,
unmarried woman, and so he's already, you know, you can start telling at this point that he's got a sense of shame,
as to her lifestyle and perhaps just their ways.
That part of it definitely could have been just, you know, not everyone has the same lifestyle, you know, so part of it is that, and I think though another big part is that he wants to make such a good impression on
her family,
and her that he's willing to then shun, you know, the way that he grew up. So Mame's like, all right, you know what? I'll come up. It'll be fine.
Now he's very hesitant because she knows that, you know, Auntie Mame is very eclectic, very, you know, just very liberal too. And so, you know, he's kind of concerned of having her come over to their family. The Upsons at their home learned that Patrick, you know, she learned that they're engaged.
After he leaves and she agrees to go up to the house, she goes and talks to Agnes. And Agnes has this whole song where she's blaming Mame.
Yes, but that she got her into this predicament.
Does she not know how babies are made? Like,
yeah,
to an extent, like she gave you the fuel for the fire, right? But you're the one who let it got out of control. I was like, that doesn't seem fair.
Look what happened to me because of you. It's like,
no. It was your fault. But yeah, there's that whole scene where we do establish that she's now on her own.
Yeah,
you know, she did come back because she doesn't have anywhere else to go, and this is where we find out that they're engaged.
Yes.
So between the time he did it in secret, I think because he knew that Mame wouldn't agree. And so, you know, they're saying congratulations to her and she doesn't know what for and then finds out. You know, and this is where we really get to see just how racist her family is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh my gosh.
She talks about like the right people, like moving in next to them.
Then they say that infamous line too. So what happens here is Mame is asked to help pay for a piece of property next door so that Patrick and Gloria could live there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as opposed to the wrong kind of people. And afterwards she is, you know, candid with Patrick about what she doesn't like about their family.
I think she's right.
Yeah.
She fully has the right to say what she says, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now he admits that he's ashamed of her though.
Mm-hmm.
That he's not a big fan of her ways and her crazy friends, which, you know, it leaves her heartbroken because,
oh yeah,
you know, and she's, I mean, who she is.
There's that line. Is this the line you were talking about when he says, "Forget you ever knew me"?
Yes. And she says, she then begins to wonder what she did wrong too. Now, here's where I'm a little confused is she does this whole number. If He Walked Into My Life is the name of the song. And she's confused. But I mean, she's wondering what she did wrong in raising him. But she had this whole big chunk of time that she did not. She didn't have very much a hand in raising him.
She talks about, I think at one point she does talk about, like, does he need me more or less? And like, it's hard because, and this is where I kind of get it. Like, it's just a strange balance, mm-hmm. you know, they come from money. So it really is put them in the best schools, boarding school, like a really good boarding school would not be surprising. Right.
Mm-hmm.
To have your child go to the best boarding school you can and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and then take them on holidays, obviously, and things like that. That's probably what was the norm. But I think maybe at this point in her life, she's wondering, did you need me more? Did you mm-hmm. like what, you know, but that whole song, you know, did he need a stronger hand? Did he need a lighter touch? I was like that. I feel like that's something parents ask.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, yeah. You know, yeah. Like, okay, what? Did I do too much, too little? Like, what's going on, you know?
When you feel like there's a disconnect or a failure on your part as a parent, you know? But yeah, she does question what happened, why he, when he was a child, and now that he's a man, did she fail him in both ends of his life is what she's really singing about. And she's very sad because he no longer, you know, wants anything to do with her. It feels very sad the way he just dismisses her.
Right. I mean, it's not like no longer does he like idolize her. That's understandable, but he's just like,
oh, anything. No. Yeah.
Right. And again, a big part of that is for the family. He wants to be with his wife and he's, you know, head over heels. And I think you're willing to do things for someone you think you're, you know, super in love with.
Yeah. And so they do end up at some point apologizing to one another.
Mm-hmm.
They do come together and apologize to one another. And then they are, you know, dressed for company. The Upsons, the parents
are
of
coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Are coming over. And so she promises to be on her best behavior. Mame does. And Patrick meets Mame's new maid, Pajin. It's
his
a
new wife.
Well, eventually. And so it's the new maid, Mame's new maid, Pajin. And Mr. and Mrs. Upson then announced that the property that they wanted to buy was bought up by.
They don't know what's in store.
Yeah.
They just know that they lost it and they're very sad. And at this point, Vera comes in. This is where she starts bringing people in.
Right. And so Mame then reveals that she bought the property next door so she could build what? The Beauregard Burnside Memorial Home for Single Mothers. And so here comes a whole parade of pregnant single women, which is.
I love that.
It's death
it's a
for
very
these,
bold move.
Oh, everyone's clutching their pearls. And again, the randomness of this storyline is just. It's comical.
But I don't know. That seems like something that, like, okay, she doesn't want it to go. I could totally see that being her move. Okay. She's Mames. Got a lot. Yeah. She's got a lot of money. Yeah. She's got a friend who needs a place to stay.
Mm-hmm. She's got a big heart.
Coming. She's got a really big heart. She's realized, hey, my friend needs help and I'm in the place to help her. I can. And oh, also these people are being awful and there's a plot of land.
It's a 1-2 punch. Yeah. And she doesn't really care what it's going to do to Patrick, because I think at this point, her morals and her wanting to help her friends is more important than these uppity people.
Right. She's basically like, if that's who you're going to side with, then this is who I am. It's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. We're now,
no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the final straw for them, for the Epsons and for the daughter. And they're just all so visibly upset, clutching pearls, fanning themselves and just so upset.
How could
and
you?
I do declare. and so, you know, cause Mame is not one of them. It's not one of us. And so Patrick, he's also upset, also leaves because he's upset of this entire scene that's happening. We cut to, because there's a lot of cutting twos. Years later, following World War II, Patrick and Pagine, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the maid, are now married and have a child. Mm-hmm. What? We skipped the whole courting, the courtship and the dating.
Listen, the movie's already like 2 hours and 15 minutes. We can't keep going.
We've sang a lot of songs.
Yeah. She says this quote that her grandson, mm-hmm. we'll call it grandson, says back to his parents, which is, life's a banquet and most poor sons of bitches are starving to death.
Mm.
Which I actually like. I love that saying.
You're going to get that tattooed?
But it really just, you know, it's like grab life by its reins, you know, mm-hmm. like take what's there.
Yeah.
Because it's all there. And a lot of times people don't take what's right in front, you know, like.
Yeah.
But anyways, she wants to take her grandson, we'll just say grandson, mm-hmm. to
Siberia.
Mm-hmm. Still crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Patrick's very much still a very, he took after his father somehow and was just still like, no. And his wife's like, listen, he's got school.
Peter is a child.
Peter. Mm-hmm. But after he says this quote, they decide fine. He can go. And the wife is like, listen, school starts, the courses start after Labor Day. Right after Labor Day, you need to be back. And Mame goes, oh, of course, Labor Day. That's sometime in November, isn't it? You can just see the look in her face like, oh, no. He's never going to come home.
Mame has not changed. And so Mame and Peter jump on this plane and wave goodbye as they go on to the plane. I mean,
you know, okay, it's crazy, right? But they must have been prepared. To some extent, because he would have had to have a passport and all of this stuff. So, like, they must have at some sort point, like, prepared a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like this movie. You're right. It does jump. It crosses such a
spectrum of stories. Yeah.
And yes. I think that it might have done better if they had tried to focus on, like, one, you know, maybe the fall to the rise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she loses everything, she gains everything, and then stop at the wedding, like do that whole courtship, get to really see that family, you know, but then they moved on, and not only did they move on from the death, but then to another marriage and another child, and so it's a very large story, but I think, I don't know, I'm one of those people that I like it. It's a good movie, you know?
It does keep you entertained. The music
is... It's maybe like a 6.5 to 7 for me.
The music is memorable. There's a couple of them that I do enjoy and I like. It was panned by critics. It wasn't, you know... they weren't a big fan of this film, mainly because of the casting. There was a lot of criticism of having Lucille Ball in the main... you know, title role, just because of, we keep hitting on it because it's a musical, the singing of it. And, you know, there are some, again, if you watch these, not side by side, but you watch some of Angela Lansbury's singing, I haven't seen the Rosalind Russell version. So I don't know how that pairs up with Angela Lansbury's version, but you can very much tell the difference that they try to maneuver it and change it to make it easier on Lucy to sing these songs. I mean, there are times where she's not even vocalizing. She's just standing there while there's music playing in the background and she's staring off into space. While when you watch the Broadway version, it's may not be fair to compare. One's a movie, one's a theater, but you can feel the difference of the singing and the movement of the whole scene feels different. And sometimes that's not always the case. I mentioned Les Mis, and when you watch the musical and the movie, it's the same. It moves quickly and it moves beautifully because of all the singing. But here, I think because of Lucy's insistence to be in it, and I think she also contributed some financial to
it. She bankrolled this movie.
There was no chance of it going elsewhere. And like we mentioned, this is why she stopped for quite some time, and this was her last, you know, feature film until we get Stone Pillow later. But yeah, I think overall it's catchy. I would watch it again, but I do love that Christmas scene. That's my favorite. Now, I do know that there's a lot of people who do have a lot more behind the scenes inside information on this film alone, because just like every other musical has a cult following, a group, and, you know, click that love a particular musical. MAME has this same thing. So I would really, if we have any experts on the film or the storyline, the Broadway, version of it, we'd love to have some comments and give us your perspective of it. I mean, we are just giving our opinion on what we, you know, initial thoughts.
What we do, right?
What we do.
It is.
Yeah, leave us any comments. What were your thoughts on this film? Did you enjoy it? Have you seen the Rosalind Russell one? Have you seen the Angela Lansbury version? I do know that they said Bea Arthur was not happy with the way the film turned out. And I do know that she kind of expressed that after the fact, you know. So, yeah, a lot of feelings go into these sort of things. People hold it very dear to their heart.
All right. Well, that was MAME.
That was MAME.
So. It's definitely worth a watch if you can get past those things. And then, again, it might not rank super high, but it's a good feel-good movie. So,
let us know your thoughts. Right. HavingAballPod@gmail.com. HavingAballPod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all the places. Thanks, guys.
All the places. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.